Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for joining our weekly study group again. So let's begin, as we usually do, with coming together for a quiet moment of stillness. Whether we perceive stillness or not, it's there. And turning our attention within and offering our willingness to Holy Spirit. Resting in this willingness, resting in willingness to experience our innocence right now. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts that Holy Spirit gives, and we gladly place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. The love in your heart and light in your mind, taking a nice deep breath in and out. And coming together to our perception of right here, right now. Alrighty. So we have a shorter section this evening. In the CE, the complete and annotated edition from A Course in Miracles, of A Course in Miracles that I am reading from, we're on page 756, and it is subheading 4. It's called The Light You Bring. This corresponds to the Sparkle edition, page 582. The subheading is The Joining of Minds. In the original edition, it is Chapter 25, Part 5, also called The Joining of Minds. And in the Foundation for Inner Peace edition, it's Chapter 25, Part 4, and the subheading is The Light You Bring. Interesting, I just realized that the CE and the FIP have the same subheadings, and then the Sparkle and Original have their own that are the same. Okay, here we go. The Light You Bring, or The Joining of Minds. Minds that are joined and recognize they are can feel no guilt, for they cannot attack, and they rejoice that this is so, seeing their safety in this happy fact. Their joy is in the innocence they see, and thus they seek for it, because it is their purpose to behold it and rejoice. Everyone seeks for what will bring him joy as he defines it. It is not the aim as such that varies. Yet it is the way in which the aim is seen that makes the choice of means inevitable and beyond the hope of change unless the aim is changed. And then the means are chosen once again as what will bring rejoicing is defined another way and sought for differently. And I'll pause there for a moment. So the first part of this paragraph, minds that are joined and recognize they are can feel no guilt, for they cannot attack, and they see their safety in this happy fact. Their joy is in the innocence they see. So if there is no guilt, if there is no attack, if we've let go of every single thought from the ego belief system, we find we are left with our innocence. And this innocence is what is right now, and it's what we seek to know again. I was reading in an earlier part of the CE edition, I think I may have mentioned this previously, but just about the defense mechanisms, and one of the things that it was saying is that, I think I shared this within the past 2 weeks, just the atonement is the only defense that can't be used, misused by the ego. It just can't be used by the ego. It's a purely true way that we wake up here through the atonement. And it says in that part that, I'm just trying to think of the exact wording. It slipped my mind. We can't understand here that the best defense is a defense that cannot attack. I'm paraphrasing. It doesn't say that. I don't have the quote right, but the meaning is there, that we as human beings, as people who have accepted the ego thought system into our minds, we can't possibly comprehend that a defense that is incapable of attack could be the best defense. And yet it is. And that's what the first part of this paragraph is saying to me, that it is our innocence that shows us our safety. Because minds cannot attack, and that is our truth. So this, again, is an area where every time we look without and see attack and judge or feel like we have to defend ourselves, this, again, is another form of, you know, that ego belief slipping in there, and we can catch it and we can take it to Holy Spirit and ask to remember our innocence once again. So this latter part of the paragraph, everyone seeks for what will bring him joy as he defines it. So there again, if we know that in truth, let me rephrase that. If we know that what brings us joy here is waking up, is the peace of God, that is what we are seeking for, that we get clear that that's what we want. When we are mistaken, when we're listening to the ego thought system, we think that joy is in separation. We think that joy is in, you know, maintaining this separate sense of self and shutting out God, and we don't realize that you know, is what causes pain and suffering and makes us unhappy because it's not who we are. So this rather confusing second part of the, at least I found it a little bit confusing the first time that I read it. Maybe I'll reread it right now. Everyone seeks for what will bring him joy as he defines it. It is not the aim as such that varies. So we're all seeking for what will bring him joy. So it's not that aim that varies, but it's the way in which we try to find that joy that is different. So that's essentially what that second part of the paragraph is saying to me, that we have to decide that we really want the peace of God, what will really make us happy. Anything coming up for anyone so far?
Yes, that best defense is humility.
True humility, yeah.
So it's not that difficult to see how humility protects you. So it's a defenseless defense, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's beautiful. That is beautiful. And that true humility is our innocence. You know, the ego has its own version of humility. But yeah, that true humility, for sure. I love that. Anything else coming up for anybody? Thank you. Thank you for that, Alan. Valuable. So let's read paragraph 2. Perception's basic law could thus be said, you will rejoice at what you see because you see it to rejoice. And while you think that suffering and sin will bring you joy, so long will they be there for you to see. Nothing is harmful or beneficent apart from what you wish. It is your wish that makes it what it is in its effect on you, because you chose it as a means to gain these same effects, believing them to be the bringers of rejoicing and of joy. Even in heaven does this law obtain. The Son of God creates to bring him joy, sharing his Father's purpose in his own creation, that his joy might be increased and God's along with his. Has anybody ever seen an older film called, hold on, I'm blanking, Astral City? I just watched it for the first time last night with my mom and stepdad, who many of you know are also very dedicated course students. It's an older film. It's kind of hard to find, but you can rent it or buy it through, like, the major, you know, streaming services like Amazon and Google Play, and I couldn't find the DVD, or maybe I did find a used copy of the DVD on Amazon. It is phenomenal. It's the movie is based on a channeled book by someone who lived some time ago. And it is it was way before the course, but it is like so in line with the course. It's about a man, a doctor, who dies, and basically he's in like what the course would say the real world is. And it's this place where, you know, he's still advancing in his journey, but you see when he transitions, just like in Eben Alexander's Proof of Heaven book, where we've talked about this part many times, in Astral City, when a lot of people die, they still want the fear and the guilt. And so the place where they end up is a place that's still full of a lot of suffering and pain. And it's only once they turn within, and like he says from the depths of my soul, I called out, like, God, help me, get me out of this place. And that's when he was lifted out of that place. And it was an interesting parallel with Eben Alexander's experience, who he described like that place that I don't remember now. It's been a while since I read the book, but it was like a worm. He called it the worm's eye view or something like that, where it was, I think, where he still experienced fear, but as he focused then on God, on light, on love, he was lifted out of that immediately into a different state, into what I would say was his experience of the real world. And so this movie was just so enjoyable because it, number one, it's based on a channeled work, which is really exciting, and there's so many parallels, I think, you know, with other near-death experiences, but it really drove home the point that what we perceive as death is absolutely not in any form an ending. And the work that we are doing now to gear our minds to choosing for love, like they say in the film, that, you know, to be brought directly to the real world immediately, you know, shows that you've already done some spiritual work. I'm paraphrasing again, but if you have the chance to rent or buy the movie, it's phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. And so this, I bring that up because that, I'm thinking of the movie as I'm reading paragraph number two, because it says, you will rejoice at what you see because you see it to rejoice. So for those who want guilt and want separation and pain, that's what they see. And you even see in this, like, this initial state that he's in, you see like angels like reaching out to the people there, like wanting to help them, to pull them out of it, and the people shrink away from the light, like, no, you know, I don't want that oneness, I want to stay with what's familiar, which is the fear. So it was really cool. It's that choice that we all have between love and fear. Pretty cool, right? If anybody sees that movie, you'll have to let me know what you think. I want to actually try to buy it. It's one of those that I want to watch more than once.
Yeah, you know, lesson 335, that was yesterday's lesson, basically says the same thing, but it refers to forgiveness is a choice. I never see my brother as he is, for that is far beyond perception. What I see him is in him is merely what I wish to see, because it stands for what I want to be the truth. And that can go one way or the other.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said. It can go one way or the other.
And I just thought that was such, I mean, that's really the answer to every problem that you could have with anybody. You know, what are you choosing?
Mm-hmm. about this movie was just how it said that, you know, like souls in the real world kept choosing to come back and incarnate down here to keep learning, like to keep, as the Course says, advancing the record, or like it says something to that effect in the earlier editions of A Course in Miracles, improving the soul's record, I think it is, like you know, maturing, like spiritually maturing. And so if trials are but lessons we fail to learn, presented once more, like you know, we have that choice again and again, and it's going to keep showing up again and again. Like Paula, I feel like you just expressed with the, it shows up again and again because we have another chance, another opportunity, you know, and
I think we're intoxicated by it.
We are intoxicated. Yes, by the dream. Mesmerized, utterly mesmerized, and we get hooked so easily. So that movie just helped remind me of the perspective that there is another world. And it says that then in here, which, you know what, we're going to read it in the next paragraph, which I thought was so funny, because I feel like so many times, and I know you all have had the same experience where you're going through something or you have some sort of insight and you open the Course and boom, there it is on the page. You read about it. So let's read the next paragraph. And so just keep the movie example that I just shared in mind, that it's like Astral City, like they say that there are these spiritual cities that surround the earth, so to speak, but we can't, you know, the people here, us, can't see them. We're not aware of them. And they're not literally surrounding it, but, you know, figuratively, because it's like another dimension, I guess you could say. You, maker of a world that is not so, take rest and comfort in another world where peace abides. This world you bring with you to all the weary eyes and tired hearts that look on sin and beat its sad refrain. From you can come their rest. From you can rise a world they will rejoice to look upon and where their hearts are glad. In you there is a vision which extends to all of them and covers them in gentleness and light. And in this widening world of light, the darkness they thought was there is pushed away until it is but distant shadows far away, not long to be remembered as the sun shines them to nothingness. And all their evil thoughts and sinful hopes, their dreams of guilt and merciless revenge, and every wish to hurt and kill and die will disappear before the sun you bring. Isn't that gorgeous?
That, and he's serious about that.
He is serious. He's so serious.
He's
this is
dead serious about it. I want to run.
We're not just being flowery. This is serious. This is not metaphor. This is literal. There is another. The Course talks often about that other world that we don't perceive, but is truly there. And so, you know, with the limits of our capacity to understand, I felt like this movie just put that in a really graspable and comforting way to think about it as another world that's just beyond our perception.
That we can bring to this world.
Yes, through our willingness to see through the Holy Spirit's vision.
Absolutely. I mean, that puts a lot of responsibility on us.
And I like to think about it as taking this world to that world, you know, like taking what we see to that. Cause this is not about making a dream real, but it's about, you know, awakening to the truth. So I like thinking about it and taking this world to that. But I interrupted you, Paula. I'm sorry.
No. It's really wonderful.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's really wonderful and totally uplifting.
I agree. It's like a breath of fresh air. My gosh, I mean, when you, again, turn on the news, like just, you know, again, with everything, with all the hooks and triggers and opportunities to get mesmerized by the picture out there. It's like a breath of fresh air and a drink of pure water to just think about the truth, to remember, to be willing to remember the truth.
I just I just watched the Food Network, or it was Channel 13 on PBS, Food Flirts. There are these two little old ladies, little Jewish ladies, and it was all about diversity in food and how America is the melting pot. It was so uplifting and so, oh my God, talk about that last line there about the sun you bring. It absolutely brought sunshine into my life just watching it. Because right now there's not so much of that kind of talk, you know? I mean, it's just the opposite. What you're hearing a lot is the opposite of that. And the way these two little old ladies, they were absolutely adorable. And, at any rate, go ahead.
That's awesome.
I feel like I'm digressing, but I'm really not, because it was like a breath of sunshine.
Yeah.
And fresh air.
They're doing, clearly, like with what you just described and, you know, the joy that they sounds like they had in what they were doing, brought that joy to you.
Yeah.
I love it. And, you know, it is a big responsibility, and yet at the same time it's not, because it's who we are. Like, it's literally who we are. It's effortless. It's effortless. And so this is, you know, this is why we're here. This is our job as miracle workers. It's to free our minds from fear so we can bring that sun to others. And it is effortless. It feels like an effort when, you know, we're struggling with being mesmerized by the picture and wanting, you know, to not be mesmerized by the picture. But it is effortless. We do have to, you know, watch our minds. It was also cool because there was part of the movie where the main character, the doctor, finally gets enough, I don't remember the term, like credits, so to speak, to be able to go see his family who's still, you know, living on the earth plane. And when he shows up and is observing, you know, their current life, he sees that his wife has remarried, and he instantly gets sucked back down into that dark place. like you see like a look on his face of just whatever it is, jealousy or, you know, whatever the emotion is. And then suddenly he finds himself back in that initial place of, you know, the fear and guilt, and then immediately like chooses again and comes out of that. But there it is, you know, our opportunity in every moment to watch our minds closely and choose again for the Holy Spirit to come back over and over and over. Let's read the next paragraph. Would you not do this for the love of God and for yourself? For think what it would do for you. Your evil thoughts that haunt you now will seem increasingly remote and far away from you. And they go farther and farther off, because the sun in you has risen, that they may be pushed away before its light. They linger for a while, a little while, in twisted forms too far away for recognition, and are gone forever. I love this idea of the sun in you has risen. And how awesome is it just to, again, feel into this, that light that we choose for, those fearful thoughts that sometimes occupy our minds, they shine just like, again, the sun burns away the fog. They disappear before its light. Anything coming up for anybody?
Corinne, it's Homer. I wanted to share, but I was going to ask you, would it be okay if I share that you don't record the part that I share?
Okay, sure. I'll stop it right now. Okay. So thank you, everybody, for sharing. That was amazing. Let's keep reading. So I'm just going to read the next two paragraphs without pausing. And in the sunlight, you will stand in quiet, in innocence, and wholly unafraid. And from you will the rest you found extend, so that your peace can never fall away and leave you homeless. Those who offer peace to everyone have found a home in heaven the world cannot destroy, for it is large enough to hold the world within its peace. In you is all of heaven. Every leaf that falls is given life in you. Each bird that ever sang will sing again in you. And every flower that ever bloomed has saved its perfume and its loveliness for you. What aim can supersede the will of God and of his Son, that heaven be restored to him for whom it was created as his only home? Nothing before and nothing after it. No other place, no other state or time, nothing beyond or nearer, nothing else in any form. This can you bring to all the world and all the thoughts that entered it and were mistaken for a little while. How better could your own mistakes be brought to truth than by your willingness to bring the light of heaven with you as you walk beyond the world of darkness into light. What I feel bubbling up in me is what Paula said before. He's serious. This is not just flowery language. This is beautiful. This is describing our home. This is describing our guarantee, because it is now. It is now. It's not later. It is now. Anybody feel moved to share? Questions or comments or insights? It's beautiful, isn't it?
This paragraph, this, and in the sunlight you will stand. Oh my God, Corinne.
Right? Right?
Oh my God.
He
absolutely adores us.
Yes, he does.
Every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, no matter if we fall on our face, it doesn't make any difference. He's right there. He's just waiting.
Right.
we can't get it wrong.
Yeah, no, we can't. And as Nook Sanchez once said, he is closer than your next breath. I feel so lifted up by all of you. Thank you so much.
As always, thank you, Corinne.
My hand is on my heart. I feel so much gratitude, and this is perfect. All right, well, I guess, are we good?
We're good.
Yes,
we're good. All righty. Go forth, have a miraculous week, and I look forward to connecting with you all next week.
Thank you.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Bye. Good night. Bye-bye.